Welcome to Richard Taylor's podcast. We trust you will be inspired, challenged, and encouraged.
I just want to share a word with you that the Lord's put on my heart. And actually, knowing the dance that they didn't really know too much about dancing. I can't dance. I give myself an hernia. I'm terrible at dancing. But all I know is this, is that, you know, I suppose like in anything, things are communicated differently. But one of the things about God's word, irrespective of which language is translated in, the greatest message that it contains is the message of the Father's love for people. And irrespective of what people have done in their lives, where they've been, one of the great hallmarks for me over the 90 plus nights that we've been running services has been to see the simplicity, the fact that God loves people irrespective of how sinful they've been or how bad they think about themselves. God is passionately in love with people, so much so the Bible says that he sent his son to the world to become a sacrifice for our sin. That's how much he loved us. There's a great verse in the Bible that says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. There is no greater calling. Listen, you can call yourself an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, but what greater position, title, call it, could we ever want than being a child of God? That I am a son of God, that I am a daughter of God. I don't need to go to Bible college to be a child of God. I don't need to have a certificate on my wall to be a child of God. All I have to do is surrender to Jesus Christ, and he takes a pen filled with ink from Emmanuel's veins, and he writes my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ha, ha, ha. You know, we were singing his banner over us, his love. The dance was about the Father's love. You know, there was a message some years ago, and that message became very prominent in evangelical circles on the Father's love. And there was an emphasis on that, and some churches kind of threw everything into it. But we try to keep a balance with things, and we're a mixture of all sorts. That's why we think we should call our church All Sorts, not Licorice All Sorts, but All Sorts. In the sense that we understand that our God is a diverse God. He doesn't do things the same way, in the same places, all the same time. He is diverse. He's creative. And sometimes we don't understand why God does certain things the way he does, because we want God to do things the way we want things to be done. And God says, well, no, I'm not going to get you out of that. I'm going to take you through that. Because I'm taking you through it because I need to teach you some valuable lessons. And in fact, what I want to teach you more than anything is how much love I have for you. You see, people don't understand this. They think that when you become a Christian, it's almost like I'm not going to experience pain anymore. Let me tell you something about pain. Pain is part of a process that God has to take us through, sometimes to get our attention. Because, you see, when we're self-sufficient and reliant on our own energy and our own resources and our own abilities and all those things, we become people with an independent spirit where we don't need God anymore. And how many know this nation is literally screaming out, we don't need God. But yet, if you listen to the shout that's coming out, I'm talking about the media now, behind all of it, the hearts of men and women are crying out for the heart and the love of our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you sense that in our nation? And more as I'm traveling and seeing things and speaking to people and coming across situations, I'm realizing the deepest need of the human heart is the love of God. It's not the condemnation from a preacher. It's not brick throwing from the pulpit. It's not making people feel miserable. And it's none of those things. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. But he does it because he loves us. He doesn't do it because there's this campaign of hatred against us. God loves us. And even as believers, you know, pastoring this church and two other churches I've ever been in, and it's one of the things I find people struggle with the most is the actual thing that God is. The Bible says that God is love. Yet people struggle with love, especially in the context of faith and Christianity and church life, more than any other issue. It's the love thing that people struggle with. How much am I loved? Am I truly loved? I don't feel worthy. So how can God love me? And we go through all these experiences of questioning. Yet what we're actually doing is, when the Bible says God is love, isn't it a reflection of our understanding of who God is? Because if we understand what real love is and understand who, that's who God is. God doesn't love us. God is love. He is love. It's not something he does. It's something that God is. He is love. Everything about God is love. Love. How do you win a nation? You love a nation. How do you win people? You love people. Love is, this love that God talks about is unconditional love. It's the agape love of God. It's love that has no restraints, no boundaries, no barriers. Nothing can stop it. It's a flood of God's love and mercy that is going to bring people to their knees in tears before him. You know, the arrogance of our heart sometimes gets in the way of that great love, and we don't understand why God's not in our lives. It's because sometimes I think we're too quick to judge ourselves and other people and forget how much we've been forgiven of. Now, the Bible says that he who's been forgiven much loves much. And so we, personally, I don't do what I do because I get paid or because I've got a title or a position. I do what I do even when I'm absolutely exhausted is because I have been forgiven for so much that everything within me, every ounce of my breath, of my being, of my strength, I want to serve Jesus with all of my heart because of what the Lord has done for me. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. He saved me just in time. God knew. God knew. And here's the amazing thing about God's love. God knew. God knew. He knew the right time, the right place when he saved you. When he delivered you from a situation that seemed impossible, when you were hooked on drugs and there was no way out, and all there was in front of you was this blackness and this hole and this darkness, and you wept yourself to sleep every night thinking, if there is a God, please help me. But just in time, at the right time, sometimes it's the 59th minute, sometimes it's the 11th hour, right up until that moment where you're about to throw in the towel, and God steps in and says, here I am. Amen. And yet, he's been there all the time. When I look back over my own life and my childhood and the things that I went through and the person I became, I can see almost now, looking back so many years ago, I can see that the hand of God was at work. He was maneuvering things in my past. He was pushing people in front of me, and he was he even put somebody in my cell in Swansea, I remember, who told me about their experience of a church. I still remember it. I remember I was sent down to the block because I kicked off. I'll try and explain to you. I was naughty, so I was put in solitary confinement. I was sent to the block as I kicked off, and all I had on me was a Walkman. Anybody remember the Walkmans? Oh, the Walkmans, aye. And the tapes you put in, you know, the C90s and C60s, and if you wanted a blanket so you could record, you have to put paper in the top, or, you know, those ones. So I had one of these, and I was in this, I was down the block for 3 days. Now, let me explain you what the block in Swansea was like. You were banged up all day, no exercise. 24 hours, solitary confinement, bang up. You slopped out, you went back to your cell, bang up. Mattress on the floor, cardboard table, cardboard chair, that is it. Nothing. No one to speak to, no one to talk to. I mean, it's a bit different these days because of European whatever. Anyway, so you got it easy now. Anyway, so I was down the block in Swansea. And the problem is with the block in Swansea, a lot of the people down there are the kind of people that were put there for protection as well. So you had to be careful when you ate the food because the food had been tampered with, and I'm not going to say any more. So you had to go on a starvation thing for 3 days. And some of you know what I'm on about, some of you don't, but I shan't go into detail. So I'm down the block, and all I had was this Walkman. And I had one tape that someone had given me, one tape with one song. One tape with one song. Now, I'm not a Christian. I hadn't even smoked the Bible at this stage. You know my story. I smoked the Bible. And it was a tape of a group from Teen Challenge singing I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Now you have to understand, I'm in the block, right? I'm used to listening to, you know, could you be loved and be loved? You know, Bob Marley and all that, you know. And I'm stuck with this one tape and this one song. And I'm in solitary confinement at least for 3 days before the governor, and then he'll extend it. So I'm in my cell, I've done the press-ups, I've done sit-ups, I've talked to myself, I don't know how many times, and I thought, I'm going to have to listen to this blooming song. I've got no choice, I need some sanity. And I remember putting those sponges, because they were like big sponges, weren't they? Do you remember them? I mean, how we ever walked. We actually walked on looking cool with them. I'm like, ah, yeah, what's happening? Don't you remember? You did. You walked with a big walk, when I got the tape in, with those big fluffy things in your ears. You were like, ah, yeah, what's happening, man? I got to walk, man. Anyway, so on. And how many of you love the Walkmans? They're probably worth a lot of money now if you've got one, actually. And I put it on, I'm in my cell, and I remember lying on the mattress. And I obviously don't know the song. And I'm humming away to it now because I've got the tune. I'm adding my own bits in, like, you know. But then all of a sudden, of course, when you listen to a song 15 times, you tend to get the words. You know what I'm saying? And I was going, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. This is my cell, right? I don't know God. I don't know nothing. All I got is this Walkman and a tape. And I remember being in my cell, getting up off the mattress, and it went from lying on the mattress humming, lying on the mattress singing, to starting a bit of a dance. I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, my mind's going anyway. So, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. And I kept singing this song all the time. But this time, when the officers came to bring me my food and I was singing, I don't know what they were thinking. I really don't know what the officers were thinking because, you know, they know me, Taylor, and they know what I was like and what I'm in this cell. And I'm singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. And then, you know, the chorus part, though none come with me, still I will follow. Though none come with. And I'm singing my head off every day, 3 days solid now, singing, I've decided to follow Jesus. I take the Walkman off. And all I can hear in my head is, I have decided to follow Jesus. So I'm back on the landing. I go and see the governor. He says, right, we'll let you out of the block. You behave yourself. No, don't do it again. Or you'll take your canteen off you and you'll be down the block again. All right, boss, no worries. So I'm back up on the landing. I remember walking on the landing. I have decided to follow Jesus. There were some boys from Swansea. They're Schizo and a few other boys, all nicknames, like all these boys and all that. And they're looking at me. They say, Taylor, What are you on, man? What are you on? And I had this song going through my head. And, you know, repeatedly now, this is how I experience the love of God. It's almost like a song that God is singing over my life. Constantly, not a Walkman, but God's Holy Spirit whispering in my ear, I love you. I love you. Yeah, but God. And God goes, I know. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Yeah, but God. But God, who was rich in mercy, wherein he loved you and gave himself. And you have all these excuses to try to stop God loving you. And you know, you can't. Even if you run away, you stop going to church. And somebody watching live stream might be like that. You stop going to church because you were hurt. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. And they were wrong. They were wrong. What they did, what they said might have been wrong. It never stops God from loving you. Never. It never stops God from loving you. And you can run away from God. And I've said it the other night. You can try to escape to some foreign country. Because I remember someone said to me once, what I'm going to do to get away from all this madness, to escape, because there's so much going on in my life, I'm going to leave the country. I'm like, yeah, but whichever country you go to, God's going to be there as well. That's the problem. You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. And it's God's love that should be the compelling force that causes us to do what we do. See, when you serve Jesus, it's not out of duty. It's out of this love that Paul talked about this love that compelled him, the King James compelleth me. It compelled him to do what he did, to go where he went, to preach what he preached. And it was the love of Christ. The love of God. The love of God. If ever the time our nation needs to know about the love of God, it's now. We're on live stream, so I'm going to say something now. This is just news flash stuff because it's not out yet. But last week, I think it was last week, I was down in London at Optimum, a television company and secular thing that I'm doing for a TV program for Channel 5. And I'm sat downstairs in the reception. And don't forget, I've been in these meetings, you know, and God's doing stuff everywhere I go, presence of God, and things are happening. And it's easy for Christians to receive the love of God when you go to a meeting. Like when I've met with pastors and prayed for them, you know, they receive, you know, yes, we receive, Lord. But when you're with people who are not Christians and you carry the love of God in your heart into their world, man, it just opens them up. I went into Optimum and I met with the executives there and different people to talk. I can't say too much at the moment, but suffice to say that you'll see me on television in February doing a series. So I'm back on the box, as they say. But I'm speaking with the executive producer. I leave her. She has to go off to Channel 4 to talk with someone else. And then I'm left with a guy and a girl, I'm not going to mention their names, and they sat at this table with me. And all I'm talking about is just really God's love, what God does for people. What God does for people, the kind of people that God rescues. I started to talk to them about my own story a little bit and then other people's story that I know. And, you know, God has done this and God has done that. And literally within seconds, without any theological debate, tears are filling their eyes and pouring down their face. No, you know, choir singing in the background, just as I am with that. Nothing wrong with that. But just sitting there with people, sharing the love of God with people. And you don't need to be a preacher. Where's that girl gone? You are a preacher. I'm speaking the word of the Lord over you. You have got an anointing to preach. And I'll tell you why. It's not just me that knows it, because there's other people around who know what I'm saying, could hear it in you. Do I get a witness in the building right here? You need to develop that gift. And the love of God, you know, and do you know what it was for me? It was the love of God that changed my heart. I told you the story before all of this ever happened, before God did what he did on the 10th of April with Paul and Lorraine Weir and the rest of the hundreds of people that have been saved, countless numbers of people being healed and going every night. How exhausting is that? But we do it because of something that God did by his love. God changed my heart to love people and not to judge people. It's funny, isn't it? And then all of a sudden I've become a preacher of, I'm too liberal now. I don't believe in the gospel anymore. Hang on a minute. I thought the gospel was good news. I thought the gospel was all about love. I didn't realize that the gospel was there just to point the finger. I think Jesus was nailed to the cross so the finger pointing would stop. You've heard it said, Jesus never died on the cross pointing a finger. He died on a cross with arms wide open because he loves every single one of us in this building tonight. The greatest need, the greatest desire. I remember growing up as a child thinking, you know, all I wanted to do was for my dad to love me. That's all I wanted, was my dad to love me. My dad to approve of me. My dad to say, did well, son, your school report was great. Well done. Dad's so proud of you. Dad loves you. Dad loves you. Dad loves you. And, you know, my dad was brought up the way he was brought up. You know, it was a kind of a hard kind of background. So there wasn't, we weren't a cuddly, loving, kissing family. Now, I'm overcompensating, because Josh was probably here tonight because he's in every outpouring meeting. But my son, he's 14. He's getting to that stage now when I go and give him a kiss. He's like, Dad, chill out, man. What's happening? But I love him because to me, he's still my baby. I remember holding him in my arms when he was first born, you know, and then after I dropped him and he bounced back up, I. You know, I can't help myself. I held him in my arms I thought, oh, that's a bouncy baby. No, I didn't do that. No. I held him in my arms. And, you know, even though he's 14 now and he's nearly the same size as me, and he's still my baby. I've got five children, but obviously I'm speaking about my eldest at the moment. But it's the same for all of them. The younger ones are still in that stage where they can receive the love. But as they get older, all right, Josh, hiya, son. As they get older, they find it more, it's almost like embarrassing, an embarrassment to receive that love. And I wonder, as we grow as Christians and mature, I wonder if there's something within us that's a little bit like that with God, that we find it harder to receive his love. Easier at the beginning when we were deep in sin, but now because we think God thinks that we should know better, we think God loves us less. Oh, wow. Let me tell you a revelation. God does not love you less. He loves you more and even more than before, because you belong to him. You're precious to him. You're priceless. He shed his blood for you. What greater message is there for the church than that Jesus died to shed his blood for your sin and mine? And that we can come to him no matter who we are, whatever nation we're from, whatever our background. You can say, well, and this is the problem, isn't it? My son, I suppose, because he's the son of a pastor, could say, and if he went off the rails, and God forbid he did, you know, I'd soon slap him around the head. But if he went off the rails, you use the question, I've seen this, would I still love my son if he chose to do something else? Absolutely, because he's my son. His blood, he's born, he's from my loins. He's my child. And when you're born again, God is the same with you and with me. We might decide to go off the rails, but God says, you know what, you're born of me. And I'm not letting you go anywhere. I'm not letting you go anywhere. You've been born by my spirit, and there's no way. I don't care. I don't care which nightclub. I don't care which relationship you get. I don't care how far you run from me. I don't care how messed up your life might seem. I still love you because I am your father. And I think about, and we can't always, because I think it's a bit irreverent to compare, but it helps us to understand logically as human beings the illustration that I'm using. When I think of my son and what I've just said to you, first of all, sometimes as they get older, to receive love is a little bit difficult because it's kind of, well, I should know better. Or if they do wrong, there's an apprehension because I've got an expectation I've got to live up to. And all of those things that children go through, we do because we are the children of God. We go through the same things. And sadly, there aren't many father figures in our nation anymore that children can look up to. And so we have a fatherless generation of orphans, spiritual orphans and physical orphans. And there's a huge amount of it. And I think to myself, especially some of the families that I work with and I love so much. And there are things that I do that some of you, none of you know about. There's certain people in my life that you don't know about that won't be watching this because they've stopped believing in God. They have nothing to do with God. And I help them and their children. I'm not going to tell you any more than that. And they don't get it. They don't understand why, because they think that they've turned their back on God. And so why is Pastor Richard still involved in our lives and helping us? Because that's what God's love is like. He doesn't stop loving us. He doesn't stop protecting us and providing for us when we've walked away from him. He continues to love us. He continues to show us mercy. I wonder, when we talk about revival, and, you know, people talk about the 1904 Welsh Revival and Daniel Rowlands and all those great moves of the Spirit. And we've seen manifestations here. Man, we've seen manifestations here. Stuff that really, I'm thinking, like, that's not right. You know, but anyway, and things going on thinking, well, that's all right. And that's weird. And that's whatever it is. And I've seen all kinds of things. But, you know, for me, it's about none of those things. It's about love. About knowing that you were loved by God, eternally loved. Men and women are completely different. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. A guy receives love differently. We like, well, it's a Viking kind of love. Do you know what I'm talking about? Whereas a woman is like, oh, I love you. It's lovely. We're different. We are. We know that. We're different, you know, not just in our gender, but we're just different. And do you know what I think? I think men struggle. I just want to speak to the guys for a moment. We struggle more with the love of God in the way maybe that a bit more than the women do, because it's kind of like we get it, but like Jesus is a man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can I just be brutally honest with you? Yeah, he's God, but he's a man. And it's like love. We're not talking about romantic love. We're talking about dying love. Love that gave itself for us in the person of Christ. And I can look out at a congregation sometimes and see hundreds of people and sometimes thousands of people wherever I go. And I'll see the women with their hands in the air, with tears in their face. And I'll see the guys like this. Occasionally, they might risk one of these. We're just different. I understand that. But we need to be more receptive to the love of God in our lives. And do you know how simple the love of God is? Without hyping up a meeting or making it sensational or going to hear, you know, an international preacher or and all that stuff, we can simply tonight, as this floor here could be an altar where we kneel and just say, Father, I receive your love and I thank you that you love me. That if you've traveled all these miles, some of you have come from different parts of the country, and you know, you're thinking, because Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, which night is best, you know? Well, of course, different nights, we have different numbers, of course, because especially with this sun as well, you know, people like to stay out a bit longer and all that kind of stuff, and I can see you all glowing at me. You've obviously been in some of it. But there is no best night to come. Any night in God's presence is a good night. Any night in God's presence is a good night. And how awesome is it that God, in his infinite love for us, would choose tonight just to say, do you know what? I'm not interested in the fact you can play the bass guitar. It's all right. I'm not interested in the fact you can play drums or that you can do this. Or you. I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know that I love you. And it's repetitive. It keeps coming back like that old Walkman that used to go in my head. I have this side. It's constant. The old hymnist put it like this. Oh, love that wilt not let me go. It's a good song, you know. Should bring it back in the key of G. Oh, love that wilt not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I own. That in thine ocean depths it flows. That's the one. I forgot the last part there. May it richer fuller be. Look, some of you remember it. Some penties here tonight. Hallelujah. Ah. So, but what that song says it all. Oh, love that will not let me go. And you watching by live stream as well, wherever you are right now, God loves you so much. Don't be so angry at yourself. Don't be so mad at yourself. You know, people used to come up to me at conferences. I've preached in different conferences, and I've got a few coming up this year, and I've invites for some big conferences, and I haven't said yes to them yet because of this. But, and they say, when I go to these conferences, and they come out, and I'm praying for people in the front, have you got a word for me, Pastor? And sometimes, do you know, I get two words, and they're not even in the Bible. One is, God says, chill. And they're waiting for a, yea, the Lord saith unto thee. And the Lord just says, tell them to chill out. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, that's not very spiritual. Yeah, but it's a word that you understand and they understand. Chill. Here's the second word. You know, this word, this is, I'm going to tell you something, it's not a preacher's secret. This is true. It might be a preacher's secret. You know? I've traveled all around, I have been around the world, not in every country, preaching. And you know, the single most incredible, most effective, most powerful word that God has ever given me to give to somebody is this. It's going to be okay. What? That's a bit boring, Rich. No, it's not actually. When you're going through something and in the middle of something or at the start of something, just for God to say to you, it's going to be okay, means far more than you realize. I have literally watched God rescue people from the brink of suicide when God has said to them, it's going to be okay. What is it about that? It's the love of God that lets you know no matter what you're facing in your life, it's going to be okay. but pastor, I got this and that. And God says, it's going, I do it. I came in today to the office. I said to Carrie, and I'm just exhausted. I'm tired. I got so much going on in my head. I'm trying to help so many different people, so many different things happening here and there. And just to hear God's voice say to me, it's going to be okay. And I come downstairs and I watch Koreans dance. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is nuts. I'm in Cwmbran. I'm from Llanelli. They're from Korea. And they're dancing. And it wasn't just dancing. Actually, it was worship. If you watch them, they were worshiping Jesus, really. That's what they were doing. And I just sat there and thought, I kept thinking of the Father's love, thinking, you know, because people are coming to this church from all over the place, and there's a weight of expectation. I do feel on me, is it going to be? And then people writing up about it. It's good. It's not. It's this. It's that. And I think, and God says, Rich, I love you. I love you, and it's going to be okay.
That's right.
I mean, what a word. I mean, you're like, but brother, let's have an exposition on the passage of Philippians. I can send you to sleep quite easily if you want to turn there. It's no problem. I can do that. But there's something about the love of God that when it touches your heart and God says it's going to be okay, I want to speak that word over people's lives here tonight and those watching by live stream, that God says it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Some of you are worrying about your family, your future, your career, your job, your ministry. Some of you are in rehab right now and you're thinking, you know, when's the right time? Am I ready? I know the feeling. And some of you are just desperate to get into a relationship and you're thinking, what's it? You know? Listen, that's all part of life. Even if you weren't going to church or a Christian, some of those things you still have to do. It's life. We have to accept that. But here's the difference. When you know Jesus, when you have Christ in you, He is the hope of glory. And you can call upon Him at any time. Strength will rise as you wait upon the Lord. And it's as simple as this, right? We kneel before Him. Simple. It's so simple. And just say, and the song that says, strength will rise as we wait. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the words of love for God to say, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I'm with you. And if you've come all this distance tonight, expecting, you know, like some nights are just mental. I mean, mental. We're drunk in the Holy Ghost and all kinds of things going off. And some nights are quiet. Some nights is dancing. Some nights is kneeling. It's all different. And people will come to one meeting and say, oh, it's this. They haven't got a clue because they've only been to one or two. It's different all the time. Because God knows the people that are here tonight who need to hear what I'm saying. Because the right people are here to hear it. God says, it's going to be okay. And His banner over us is love. On my travels to London, I stopped off at Starbucks and I got a drink and I sat down at the table and I looked across the table and there was a couple over there and didn't really know who they were, but I just went over and said, I hope you don't mind, I says, but I don't know who you are, you don't know who I am. I said, I know you've already paid for your drinks. I says, but I like to pay for them. And I put a £10 note on the table. And then I waited there for the change. I put the £10 note on the table. And I walked away. As I walked away, the guy called back. Excuse me, mate, come back. He says, what's that for? I said, I'm a Christian and God loves me, and I just wanted to show some of God's love, and the only way I could do it was just to say, I want to pay for your drinks. You want to see the look on their faces. I didn't preach at them. I didn't say, yay, the Bible says. All I did was just simply just demonstrate some kind of love to them, which opened up a conversation for me to share my story of how Jesus changed my life. Love conquers all. You can speak in tongues, you can give your body to be burnt, but if you have not love, You don't have anything. How am I going to do? Love. 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 Oh, come on, Pastor. You must have more revelation than that. Oh, I got a lot of revelation going on in here. But the greatest revelation I've discovered is the love of God. Shed. Listen to what it says. Rich, can you pray for us? Listen to what it says. The love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. The love of God in our hearts. And whatever we've come for, some of you might have come for healing because you've heard of the outpouring. You've all come with different things. Some of you just come to check it out. Some of you, because there's nothing on the box, you thought you'd come. And some of you thought, well, you know, it's a lovely day. We'll go to Cwmbran for the day because it's free parking and Newport's not as nice. So you came here instead. You thought, let's go to the outpouring meeting. You know what? You are in the right place tonight because God got you here. And you're thinking, what's going on tonight? All these chairs moved. Where are the people? What? You are in the right place tonight. Because you need to hear this word more than you realize. God's love for you. And God's saying it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God stood where you stood. He's been where you've been. And whatever the future holds, because he lives, I know I can face tomorrow.
We trust you enjoyed listening to the podcast today. For more information, why not head over to Richard's website, www.richietaylor.org. Never miss an episode by subscribing to our channel.